This is the Modern Day Pirates.
Welcome to Do Nothing But Read, the podcast book club, episode 31, Turn the Page and Cough. In this volume, we talk about a diet that's not a diet, worrying about everything, and the sadness that is Borders. From, unfortunately, the home of Scott Walker, Wisconsin, I'm Amanda.
And from the home of Bryan Singer, New Jersey, I'm Brandon.
And so just a warning to our listeners today, ironically, for an episode about health books, I am not that healthy right now. And that's actual irony, not Alanis Morissette irony. And so I sound sort of terrible, I think. So sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, it's all right. We will edit all of those out when we can.
Yeah, edit out all the coughs.
I just want to say off the top that coming soon, there's going to be a little bit of a change to the Do Nothing But Read world. So if you haven't noticed, it's been hard for us to get episodes out because of Amanda and my schedule. My computer died at one point.
And then we were both sick for a while.
Like things, it was just a tragedy of errors. Mm-hmm. And we kind of thought things out and we're officially going to be scaling down the audio episodes. We were at one point shooting to really get out one a week. It's just not realistic with our schedules. We're going to be doing about two a month. But you're going to get so much more with this change because Amanda is going to be starting Do Nothing But Read, the video show.
Yay, you get to look at me.
And it's going to be about 2 to 4 minute book reviews posted everywhere that we can post them. Mm-hmm. And more details will be forthcoming. Mm-hmm. But Amanda reads way more than I do, and she sure has to edit out a lot of the books that she reads.
I do. Yeah, I read a lot of crap, but it's going to be really fun. And the cat that was in all of the videos I made for C2E2 on Modern Day Pirates will probably be making another appearance in some of these videos, because when you sit down at the computer, Hugo wants to be your little friend.
So for the video episodes, the cat will replace me.
Yes. He will. Yeah, you're both, you know, fuzzy and nice.
Yeah, I am fuzzy.
So for today's episode, we're talking about books on health. So, you know, with changing seasons, it feels like everyone gets sick. And I think that's why I'm sick right now, because it was sort of warm here. And then yesterday it snowed. This time of year, everyone's thinking about losing weight, getting into shape for swimsuit season, not being terribly sick all the time. Mm-hmm. So we decided to talk about books on health. And Brandon, what book did you choose?
So for my book choice, I've been thinking about the same type of stuff you just mentioned, mm-hmm. about getting sick and looking better for when you start wearing t-shirts and everything. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I feel when spring starts to come around, although it's yet to come around in New York City.
Yeah.
I feel that you kind of start to come out of hibernation and you want to get rid of all that hibernation fat.
Yeah, like stew weight from eating so much like stew and pot roast and stuff
all those
during the winter.
Big wintery foods and all the holidays, you're always eating chocolate and donuts and everything. I got to a point recently where I had never been over 200 pounds, and I got on the scale and I was over 200 pounds. So around the same time, I was hearing great things about this particular book, The 4-Hour Body, An Uncommon Guide to Rapid Fat Loss, Incredible Sex, and Becoming Superhuman by Tim Ferriss. It was on the New York Times bestseller list, was getting incredible buzz online. Tim Ferriss is the guy who wrote The 4-Hour Work Week, which got a lot of press, if you remember. And
I do.
So Tim Ferriss, it's funny that this book comes second, because weight loss and bodybuilding and training and everything is how he built his little empire. He was a trainer and he owned a supplement company at one point. So this is something that he knows more about than anything. And he was trying to figure out what to make a book about. And he's like, I should finally make the book about all the stuff I've learned about getting healthy. With this book, He gives you section on fat loss. There mm-hmm. is a section about muscle gain. There's a section about reversing permanent injuries. Mm-hmm. There's a section about your sex life. There's a section about how to only sleep 2 hours a day wow. and still feel the same. That's like the Leonardo da Vinci sleep kind mm-hmm. of ideas. And so it's a giant book, but you only really read the 150 pages that you need to match the results that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes over that in the beginning. It's like, don't read the other sections until you're ready for them, because you'll start doing things that you shouldn't do on each plan.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's written with this great voice. Tim Ferriss is like probably the most type A person in the world. Everything in the book, he experimented on himself. So at one point he had like a implant glucose meter. And he's not diabetic.
My boyfriend has one of those because he's diabetic.
But he's not diabetic. And he had it so that he could see how everything he ate affected his sugar levels.
Mm-hmm.
So that he could find the best things to eat. He makes this great point that everything that we do with fat loss and weight like muscle gain and everything is very wrong, because it's written by and sort of becomes meant for muscle heads and jocks
right.
and exercise crazies. But the people that really need these things don't, that's not their hobby. That's not what they love.
Yeah.
That's not what they want to read about. That's not what they think they want to think about. They like eating. They like living a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came up with these ideas that you can fit into a normal person's life. And he's kind of a big guy in the Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
He's good friends with a lot of the founders of insert website name here. And he kind of designed this around those type of people, like people that work in the internet, work in web, that spend a lot of time at their desk and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, there's a lot of advice for women, more so, I think, than even for men, because Ooh. Women have a lot more issues.
We have fat pockets.
Fat pockets and issues with with it's harder for a woman to start the weight loss cycle.
Right.
Because they're meant by nature to be, say, fat, but they're meant to have fat.
Well, yeah, because if you don't have enough fat, you can't reproduce. Mm-hmm. And also, our fat pockets are supposed to be attractive.
Yes. Yes. So he goes, like, there's a page I remember about, like, how to get the Marilyn Monroe figure with just exercise. Like, it's, you
Sweet.
Could do it with, she apparently exercised a ton.
Really?
So, yes.
I love
so
her.
It wasn't just natural, God-given looks.
God-given hips.
It was, there's certain exercise that you can do to expand your hips and kind of stuff. So the diet part is what I read, and it's super simple. I wouldn't even call it a diet. He doesn't like calling it a diet because
mm-hmm.
you're not calorie counting, you're not eating smaller meals, you're not doing a point system, you're just making a couple tweaks to how you're eating. Don't take what I'm going to say and go, oh, I'm going to do it now, because he goes through every little section with a lot of little things that you should do and don't do, and a lot of little caveats. So the basics, if you did the basics, they're not going to work.
Right.
So you have to read the whole section to get it out, but the basics are, don't eat anything white.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, that covers everything they shouldn't eat.
It's just like starch.
Starch, dairy,
mm-hmm.
you know, breads, potatoes, sugar. Everything that's white is probably bad for you. It's true. Pastas, white pastas.
Oh, pasta.
White pastas. You can
okay.
White rice. All this stuff is either chemically change to be white. White's not a real natural color in nature.
Yeah, it's super processed.
Yeah. And so you stay away from it. You also eat as much as you can at every meal.
Ooh, I like that rule.
Because he makes a good point that the reason why we snack is because we didn't fill ourselves up during our meals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. Once I started to just forcibly start, like, try to eat as much as I can at each sitting,
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to snack. I just lost the need and want to snack. Because, you know, especially when you're in a diet standpoint, you're like, I'm not going to eat as much.
Right.
You know, like, oh, I'm not going to eat as much. Most likely your meals are the most healthy things you're going to eat. So why not right. eat more of them? Mm-hmm. The snacks are all the crap. It's the cookies and the potato chips and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's other stuff involves eating as soon as you wake up in the morning, like within half hour of waking up, you should eat something. You follow all this stuff, and then on day six, you get a break day. Mm-hmm. And one guy I heard doing this thing says, on a break day, you eat like a rich person. Like, you just have bites of things and like, I don't want it. You know, you can eat anything you want, because the point is shocking your system to think that that's now the norm. And the next week, it just thinks the next, you know, when you start denying it, all those carbs and sugars and
mm-hmm.
fats and everything, it tries to find them again and starts eating and burning the fat.
Oh.
It's fun. We call it burning fat, but you're really, your body's eating the fat. It's like absorbing it and using that energy.
Cannibal fat.
Yeah. So I can tell you it works like crazy. I lost 15 pounds in the month of March.
Wow.
With no exercise.
That's amazing.
Just diet modification, 15 pounds. Yeah, it's the most visible weight loss I've ever had. There was the week when the most came off, I know you went through a point where you lost a good deal of weight.
Yes, yes, I did.
And 15 pounds for me is the most I've ever lost at one stint
mm-hmm.
that fast. And I did this one point where I went to put my hand on my chin and I missed.
Huh.
I can attest it works awesome. And I never really felt like I was really dieting. It sort of became a game. And you just change a couple things about how you eat. He's very good at this is what we would have done in nature. Mm-hmm. So this is what we should be doing.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Cause like the one point I love is you're supposed to cut out fruit during the 6 days, and people go, "Oh, but fruit's so good for you and everything." Well, many of us are European based. Europeans right. didn't have navel oranges in January,
right?
Or at all. Right. Europeans didn't have apples 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we didn't develop to eat those kind of foods year round. And that goes back to other great health books I love are the Michael Pollan books.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a point he makes too, is we've got to this level where we can get any food we want any time of the year.
And that's not good.
And it's not good because we never were supposed to have every food every point of the year. There were seasons and there was seasonal food. And
yeah. That's what I'm trying to do more is don't do like seasonal and local stuff, which is really easy in the summer here because we have the largest farmers market in the United States here in Madison.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I want to get this book.
Oh, definitely. And my brother who did the muscle gains section mm-hmm. in the month of March gained 10 pounds of muscle.
Really? Can you like, does he look more ripply?
Oh, not ripply, but he's definitely bigger.
Well, something that I noticed, well, that I was listening to yesterday was that I listened to the Nerdist podcast, obviously, mm-hmm. a lot. And Tim Ferriss was a guest on one of the latest Nerdist podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to about, I think, 20 minutes of it so far because then I had to run away. But it's really, really good. Like, he talks all about how he started writing the 4-hour work week because his girlfriend broke up with him because he was working 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day. And then he realized that that was ruining his life.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, changed things in his life and started telling other people how they could change their lives. So because he is a big nerd, right? This Tim Ferriss guy?
Oh, huge. It's the thing. He doesn't look like one. He looks like a frat brother.
Mm-hmm.
But he looks like a jock, like a football player. But he's just a big biology nerd
mm-hmm.
that has done all these experiments on himself. So he's like a superhuman. He looks like a superhuman if you see what he looks like.
Yeah.
So get the 4-hour body. No matter who you are, I'm sure, I guarantee it will make you a better person in one way or another.
Well, I'm going to pick it up then.
Yep.
So my book is sort of switching gears from your body to your mind. It's called My Anxious Mind, A Teen's Guide to Managing Anxiety and Panic by Michael A. Tompkins and Catherine A. Martinez. And I'm not a teenager
anymore.
But this book is chock full of useful advice. When I was in library school, I did my internship in the teen section of a public library. And I bought this book because I was doing a project on nonfiction for teens. And there's really not that much good mental health stuff for teenagers right now. A lot of the mental health stuff is from the 1990s, and everyone has really terrible hair, and there's sweater dresses, and it's why am I so sad all the time? It's oh my god. But this book is actually really useful. It's more it's partially a book and partially a workbook. And their whole thing is if you have 30 minutes, you can feel less anxious. They'll take you through exercises you can do and visualizing exercises. Even some physical exercises where they'll say, stand up and pretend you have a heavy wool coat on and just breathe and feel the weight of the coat on your shoulders. And if you do that, that really, really calms you down. I don't know why, but it's their whole thing too, is it's not about changing the things in your life that make you anxious, because you can't necessarily control everything in the world. Mm-hmm. It's about changing your reactions to stress and to stressors. And it's a really little short book. It's short enough to read in one or two sittings. And it's written in a really conversational tone, but not hey kids,
Yeah.
It's not condescending or at all. And I think there needs to be more books like this for teenagers, because, when I was in high school, that's when I was starting to deal with my anxiety problems that I have. And I could have definitely used a book like this when I was in high school, because I remember going to the high school library and looking for books. That was a joke, going to the high school library and looking for books. Come on.
Yeah, they didn't like you looking for books in the high school.
No, they always got nervous when you're over with the books.
Do you remember when we got in trouble for looking at the book? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, my friend Joe and I were in the library, and we were looking at the books to legitimately read the books. We looked like people that wanted to read some books. Mm-hmm. And I think we were in the fantasy section and opening books and discussing them and then putting them back where we found them.
Right.
And one of the old stodgy librarians in the high school library came over to us. She's like, "Hey, put down those books. I want to take out some books." "No, you're not. You're looking to make trouble." "No, I just want the books." And we left. We left the library.
And I think that is the experience that so many teenagers have in libraries. And, yeah. So when I was in high school and I was, attempting to not get kicked out of the library and looking for books about anxiety and depression and stuff, there was really nothing that wasn't stupid. Mm-hmm. Everything was super 80s. So this book is great. It won a couple of awards, I think. It also is really well designed, because I think that especially for everyone, but especially for teenagers, the design of a book might even be more important sometimes than the actual content of the book. So I would, it's really attractive. I would highly recommend picking it up, or if you have a teenager in your life who seems a little anxious, throw it their way. And
don't throw books at teenagers. So that's
I don't actually throw books at teenagers, because if they're already anxious, they might not be very happy with you.
Yes.
So if you're anxious, pick this one up. Even if you're an adult, I think they have some really good tips for anxiety in general.
So every episode we ask, what the frack are we reading? And so other than The 4-Hour Body, I am been continuing the Patton Oswalt book, which is a joy and a delight.
I saw him at C2E2.
Really? Is he tiny?
Yeah. He is, short and squat. He's like a little teapot.
Mm. It's a really funny book, and I'm back on Game of Thrones, as you might. It's been a constant running thing on this podcast as I get back into Game of Thrones. But this time, I'm doing the audiobook.
Oh, who reads them? Is it characters doing the voices, or is it
this
one reader?
One guy? It's kind of like the Harry Potter. It's not the guy that does the Harry Potter books, but it's like the guy that does the Harry Potter audiobooks, where he does all the voices.
Oh, cool!
Even the female voices.
Is it annoying or is it good?
He's really good. If you ever listen to the Harry Potter ones, both Stephen Fry and Jim Dale. I actually prefer the Stephen Fry ones, but they both do voices for females in a female voice, and they're really talented actors, so they sound right. he does the same thing there, and it's been helping me get through it a lot faster because they're really beefy books. I'm getting through it now because it's coming to HBO in the next month.
The
miniseries, and so I want to at least get as far as the miniseries gets in the books.
Sweet.
They're amazing. They're absolutely amazing. It's just they're a big commitment. Next to reading probably Stephen King's Dark Tower series,
which I haven't even cracked yet.
Yeah. It's probably one of the biggest book commitments you can make.
See, I just get overwhelmed sometimes with book commitments like that.
Yeah.
Well, a couple weeks ago, I went to C2E2, which is the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. And I met some fantastic comic people, and including the guys from this podcast called Geek Fights. And I'm actually going to be just doing a quick little guest thing on their podcast where we have a fight about who would win in, you know, an encounter, the Doctor or Optimus Prime. So that's going to be up in the next couple of weeks. But I met Chris Hardwick from The Nerdist.
Yay.
And I took a picture with him. He was so nice. I gave him my card for Modern Day Pirates and told him all about our podcast. So maybe he'll listen. Probably not. But I also picked up The Compendium of Bone by Jeff Smith. Have you ever read that, Brandon?
No.
It is so good. It's a graphic novel. And the compendium is like more than 1,000 pages long, I think. It's so long. Because the comic ran from 91 to like 2002 or something. Mm-hmm. So it was around forever. And it's about these little guys they're called Bones. They're like these little white, squishy-looking creatures. And they come from a place called Boneville. And these three cousins get kicked out of Boneville because one of the cousins is a corrupt politician. And they end up in this magical valley where there's dragons and rat creatures and this really beautiful girl named Thorn that one of the Bones falls in love with. And it's like epic fantasy, but it's funny and there's romance. It's so good. So I'm about halfway through now.
I always mean to read Bone. It's one of the considered one of the classics in the graphic novel world. I just never got around to it. Because the problem with Bone is they're very, very, very beautiful and they're very, very adult. But they look like a kid's book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at one point they did a kid's cartoon.
Really?
Adaption of Bone. And that kind of stuck in my head as it's and they, you always find them in there's because there's a lot of them. You always seem to find them in discount racks and stuff. So,
yeah, I got the compendium. It's supposed to be $40, but I got it for $15 because it was the last day of C2E2, and this guy was like, "I'm trying to get rid of all my stuff." So
yeah,
cool. It was fantastic. Book news.
So Bill Cosby is releasing a new humor book. It'll be out in the fall.
Do we know what it's going to be called yet?
I did not look that up. I just saw that he is releasing a new humor book.
I hope it's good. Sometimes I feel like he could get really sad really easily. You know,
sad and like kind of. He's getting to a point where he's one of the best comedians ever, but old Bill Cosby kind of lost a lot of it.
Well, I feel like after his son was killed, it just, that was so tragic in his life that I think it just sort of made him. His after his son was killed, he's not as up to snuff as he was before, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So let's hope it's a funny, good book to read.
I still love him and his pudding.
Yep. The iPad 2s, they're basically sold out everywhere. There's about a month wait on all of them. There is lines at every like at least the ones in the city. It's kind of a running joke at my office to check. Whether the apples, there's a line every day.
That's so funny.
And most of them are resellers that get it and then resell it online because it's still getting ridiculous amounts of money online.
Yeah.
And Gizmodo just announced that, quote, there's no tablet market, there's only the iPad market. The iPad totally eclipsed all other tablets. Apple has made 281 times more profit from the iPad 1 alone. In the last year that it's been out, actually not even a year, than all other tablets have made in all of their models.
Oh my God.
281 times. The iPad's at like 9 It's like ridiculous. I don't even want to get
That's
into it.
Ridiculous.
It's like $9 billion in profit they've made on just the iPad 1, and the rest of them have made like $34 million in profit.
Wow.
So when it comes to ebook readers, the Kindle exists. Mm-hmm. Everyone else, like all the other ones exist, but I think if I have my way, at least, and the trend continues, we might just soon be calling tablets and readers in general just iPads.
Yeah, that could totally happen. Mm-hmm. Well, also, so in more borders news, we'll include this map of closing borders, but I feel like by this point, the map is sort of moot because it's like, if there's borders near you, it's probably closed by now. So I got an email yesterday from the borders in Madison. Because I found out there's actually two borders in Madison. The only one of them is closing. I think this is their last weekend being open. And so their sales are like 60% off plus. So yeah, you know, if you waited, there's no books left, but it'll be cheap. The saddest part of this email that I got was that they're selling all their fixtures and furniture. And to buy it, you have to talk to someone called the fixtures manager. There's that exists. That's a position. You can be a fixtures manager.
You can,
like, in charge of the fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
That's so sad to me.
Someone's bookcases are their lives. I went a week or two ago to my local Borders, and there was literally nothing. I find it interesting, though, in these sales, these liquidation sales with books, mm-hmm. like, you can see what books nobody wants to read.
Right.
Like, there was piles and piles of Sarah Palin's book. And piles and piles in like the politics section. Like, mm-hmm. no one wants to touch those books. No one likes the self-help books, but like all the teen young adult books all gone, all the like sports books all gone. I got a Doctor Who book.
Ooh.
There were a lot of Doctor Who books, so actually I'm glad that Doctor Who is not popular. I got one of those books from usually imported from England for like mm-hmm. dirt. The Night of Sweet. The Humans, it's called.
So, I wanted to read that one. Let me know how it is.
I will let you know how it is. It's, you know, their loss is my gain.
Exactly. Well, for another awesome bit of book news, this happened last week. This is one of the funniest things I think I've ever read, and one of the longest comment threads on a blog I've ever read. It's this blog, this book review blog called Books and Pals. It's a fairly newish, it's a Blogspot blog, it's fairly new.
Uh-huh.
And this reviewer reviewed this ebook called The Greek Seaman, and I'm going to say it like that so I don't sound like I'm saying something dirty.
Yeah.
And it's by this British or this English author called Jacqueline Howitt. And the review, I mean, they basically said in the review, this is a fairly good book. There are some moments of great suspense. I would read it. I would recommend it. But the only thing I wouldn't recommend is that this version of this ebook does not look like it was proofed or edited or spell checked at all. Like, just some of the sentences, and she like did one example, it's just like, this is the sort of sentence that an editor would have seen and edited out because it's a self-published book.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately the first comment was the author flipping out and saying, you didn't get the corrected copy, how dare you say all this stuff, and then, you know, just being ridiculous and saying like, you are a snake, get away from me, snake, and all this stuff. And then apparently, and you find out later down the thread, that all of these New York Times book reviewers are reading this thread because it just swarmed the book internet.
Mm-hmm.
And she told one of them to F off, like, but didn't say F. She told two separate people to F off, and that's all she'd said in her post. But then she stopped posting, and I was sort of disappointed because she was responding to, like, everyone's comments, and it was just, like, so flame war. It was amazing. And so we're going to include a link on the site. You should definitely check this thread out. It's hysterical. And it's basically a lesson in how not to react to a bad book review of something you wrote.
trolling on the internet is fun. It's you have to go with the bad. Most people don't actually even read the bad reviews.
Yeah.
So don't worry. Also, another piece of little book news is a friend of mine, my old boss from Wired, is now published yesterday. His book went up on the Kindle store. It comes out in paperback in August.
Cool.
Big, like, big time book. Like, he got published by, like, a big company. And it's called Salary Tutor.
Yeah.
And I definitely recommend this book to everyone that is looking for jobs, someone that's, like, ready to talk to their boss about salary renegotiation, like, you're up for review.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. It is, you know, I've took his class when he was doing it as, like, a small little independent class, and the information's invaluable. And the thing that he kind of is that if you buy this book for $10 on your Kindle, or you buy it for I think it's like $13-$14 in paperback when it comes out. $10 in paperback when it comes out.
Yeah.
Spend $10, and that $10 could potentially make you thousands.
Sweet.
All right. And Jim's a great writer, writes very fun and light, but the information in there is awesome. So as a friend of mine, I got to have to give him props and give him reps on my book podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But I deeply love the content in here.
Sweet.
So definitely check it out. Also, check out Laughing Historically, the web show I'm doing with my brother. It was featured on iTunes front page, still is on the video side, and we shot up to the top 10 video podcasts, and we were in the top 10 of all podcasts for a period.
That's awesome.
And it's a pet project I started with my brother. We never kind of thought it was gonna happen. Like, we seriously one night were just kind of bored and fed up with things, and we're just like, let's just turn on the webcam and just do a little vlog. And we recorded it. I just did some quick animations on it. It was about Edgar Allan Poe, of all things. It was Edgar Allan Poe's birthday, and it got featured on iTunes. And then we were like, where do we go from now? what do we do now? And
so, it is awesome. I love that.
Since then, thank you. Since then, we've really ramped up our production, and we've got a lot of plans going for it and everything.
Sweet.
Go to the same site that you go to this, themindedpirates.com, and you can find the episodes for Laughing Historically.
Yeah, take a listen, guys. Take a watch. You can see Brandon and his brother in action.
Yes, in real live form.
Exactly.
So thanks for listening to this episode of Do Nothing But Read. For more of this show and general geekery, check out themoderndaypirates.com. And while you're there, you can find all the books mentioned in this episode. And if you buy them through those links, it'll help us out.
Have a book you wish we would read? Send your episode ideas to podcastbookclub@gmail.com.
You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and while you're there, give us a rating. That'd be awesome. For more of Amanda's book reviews and views, go to dmbrd.org. You can follow me on Twitter and Goodreads at MediaWorder.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Goodreads at Epistemophilia, spelled EPISTEMOPHILIA. Happy reading!